The following message is provided through the teaching ministry of Journey Baptist Church in Silver Springs, Texas. It is our desire that by listening, you will be encouraged to trust Jesus for all, treasure Jesus above all, and to take Jesus to all.
Well, it is good to be with you this morning. If you have your Bible or your phone or a tablet or whatever you use to view God's Word, I invite you to open up to Psalm chapter 23 this morning. As you're turning there, let me ask you a question, and be honest. Raise your hand if you've ever faced difficulty in your life. Raise your hand if you've ever had pain and suffering in your life. And we all have. We've all gone through it, and we've all asked the question, why? And what do I do during those moments when I'm going through this pain and I'm going through this suffering and I'm going through this difficulty in life? And that's what I want to talk to you this morning about, God in the dark valleys, because we all go through valleys in our life, and we need to know that God is there with us. In Psalm chapter 23, very familiar psalm, David writing there, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The verse I want to talk about this morning is verse number 4. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." Why do we go through difficulties in life? I mean, wouldn't life be so much easier if it was just sunshine all the time? If there was no pain, if there was no suffering, if there was no heartache, no difficulties in life? I mean, wouldn't life be a lot easier without all of that? There's an old Arab proverb that says, "All sunshine and no rain makes a desert." If you never have any dark times in your life, you're going to be immature. If you never have any pain or suffering in your life, you're never going to grow spiritually. You're never going to grow in your life. You see, life is this wonderful mixture of pleasure and pain. It's this wonderful mixture of victory as well as defeat, of success and of failure, of mountaintops. But with every mountaintop also comes the valley. And today we're going to look at what God says to us when we're going through those dark valleys of our life, when we're going through that pain and that suffering and that heartache in our life. Because even in that darkest valley, even in the darkest moments of our life, God is there with us. The Bible has some different illustrations of valleys that it speaks of. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 24, it talks about the valley of Achor, or the valley of trouble. We've all gone through that. We've all gone through trouble in our lives. And so Joshua was speaking about that, saying, look, we have trouble in our lives. And then in Psalm 84:6, it talks about the valley of Baca, or the valley of weeping. We've all been there. We've had those moments in our life that brought that pain, that suffering, that we've wept. And then our verse that we're looking at this morning, Psalm 23:4, actually in Hebrew, it literally means the valley of that deep darkness. That valley of that deep darkness that you are going through in your life right now. What does God want to speak to you during this time? And here's the question we have to ask ourselves this morning. How do we handle the dark valleys that come into our life? And in doing so, I want us to notice 5 things before we get to that of how we handle it. 5 things about valleys that we need to remember whenever we go through a tough time in our life. And number 1, that is, valleys are inevitable. They're inevitable. They're going to happen. Valleys are going to come into your life. You can count on it. You see, you're either going into a valley, you're going through the valley, or you're coming out of the valley. That's the way our life is. We're either heading into the valley, we're in the midst of the valley, or we're coming out of the valley. We all find ourselves in one of those 3 locations this morning. Valleys are going to happen. And what I found in life is generally these valleys happen like one right after the other. It just seems like every time you get out of a valley, every time you get through a situation, you're up on the mountaintop and it's wonderful and it's great, and then all of a sudden you're back down in the valley. Because it's like this. It's going up and down, up and down. Because what we have to remember is this: after every mountaintop, guess what? There's always a valley. If you're going to journey in life and move, you're not going to stay on the mountaintops all the time. You're going to ascend the mountain, descend the mountain, down in the valley, back up the mountain, on top of the mountain, back down into the valley. That's just the way life is. And so we have to understand that. And Jesus was honest about that. Jesus didn't pull any punches when he told us how our life would be. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, "I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation." In this world, you're going to have problems. You're going to have troubles. You're going to go through some difficult times in this world. But he said, take heart, because I have overcome the world. Take heart. You don't have to worry. If you trust in me, even in those deepest, darkest moments, even in those valleys, he said, I have overcome those things. I have conquered those things. What Jesus is saying is not a matter of if you're going to go through a valley. It's just a matter of when we're going to go through a valley, when we're going to go through some difficult times in our life. We're going to have disappointments, and we're going to have discouragement in our life. There's going to be times of suffering. There's going to be times of sorrow. There's going to be times of sickness. There's going to be times of frustration, and we've all felt that, and we've all experienced that in our life. There's going to be times that we fail in our life. There's going to be times that we're tired, that we're fatigued. It's a normal part of life, and the thing that God never promised was that everything would be perfect on this side of heaven. It's not, because we live in a fallen world. We live in a sin-cursed world. And so because of that, we're going to face valleys. We're going to face difficult situations. So valleys are inevitable. Secondly, they're also unpredictable. They're unpredictable. And this is the part that I hate, because you never know when it's going to happen. I mean, be honest, has there ever been a good time that you've had a flat tire? Has there ever been a good time that you've run out of gas? Has there ever been a good time that your battery just was dead and your car wouldn't start? It never happens at a great time. I mean, don't you wish that we could plan our valleys, that we could plan the difficult times in our life? I mean, don't you wish we could just say, God, man, things are going so great right now. Everything's wonderful. I'm happy. Everything is just great. I know a valley's going to come, but can I schedule that for like the week before Thanksgiving? Because I don't have time for it right now. Wouldn't that be great if we could do that? Unfortunately, that's not the way it happens. We don't get to plan when we go through a valley. We don't get to plan when we go through a difficult situation in our life. It's unpredictable. They come suddenly. Have you ever noticed that a day can change that quick with just a phone call? A day can change. You go to the doctor for a routine checkup, and the doctor says, "I found something." And just like that, your day has changed. You get that phone call that rocks your world. And just like that, we can go from the mountaintop and we go down into the valley, because it is unpredictable. It's unpredictable. We can't plan it. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 20 says, "Crash follows hard on a crash. The whole land is laid waste." And suddenly, I like that word, suddenly. It means it came without warning. I didn't plan for this. He said, "Suddenly my tents are laid waste, and my curtains in a moment." They're unpredictable. Thirdly, they're impartial. Valleys are impartial. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. You're going to go through a valley. You're going to go through difficult times in your life. No one is immune to them. No one is insulated from pain and sorrow. No one gets to skate through life problem-free. It doesn't matter if you're the poorest person in the world, the richest person in the world. It doesn't matter what country you live in, whether you live in the USA or whether you live in another country somewhere else. We all go through struggles and trials in our life. We go through problems in our life. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're saved or if you're lost. We go through struggles and trials in our life. You know, when troubles come in our life, it doesn't mean that we're a bad person. You know what it means? It means we're a person. We're alive. And we're going through these struggles and we're going through these problems. Matthew 5:45, the latter part of that verse says this: "He makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust." You know, it rains in your life as well as the lost person's life. Now, how many times do we catch ourselves sometimes looking at the lost people or looking at other people and say, man, they just have it so easy. I'm struggling and I'm always going through problems. And it just seems like they're being blessed and blessed and blessed. Well, maybe you haven't seen their trial yet. Or maybe they're going through a different trial that you can't see. But it's going to happen. Everybody has problems. Everybody has struggles. You know, when we go through a valley, our first initial thought is, why me? Why me? Why do I have to go through this? In reality, it should be, why not me? I'm not any better than anybody else. I'm going through this struggle because I'm human and because I'm here. It's impartial. Next, they're temporary. And this is the one I love. They don't last forever. Now, I know sometimes they may feel like they last forever, but they literally don't last forever. A very important word in our verse says, even though I walk through the valley. David didn't say, even though I camped in the valley, even though I built my house in the valley, and I live in the valley, he said, I walk through it. It means I'm going through it. I'm enduring it. I'm experiencing the pain and the struggle right now, but I'm going through it. I'm going to come out on the other side. The valley is not something you stay in your entire life. It is just something that you go through for a season of your life. Every circumstance has a season. Every circumstance has a beginning as well as it has an ending. And when you're in a valley, though, sometimes it feels like you're never going to get out. Sometimes it feels like that you see the mountains on either side of you and they're just rising and you can't see the tops and you can't see a way to get out and you just feel like you're trapped and you just feel like there's nothing that I can do and you feel like you're in a dead end. May I remind you this morning that valleys are like tunnels. There's always a way out. It may be dark in that moment. It may be dark and you can't see anything, but what you have to do is you have to look long and you have to look hard to be able to see that light at the end of the valley, that light at the end of the tunnel. See, valleys come and they go. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6 says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. He said, look, It may be necessary for just a little while that you're going through these struggles, that you're going through these trials in your life. But it's not permanent. It's not forever. It's only temporary. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, weeping may tarry for the night, but guess what? Joy comes in the morning. Sometimes we don't see the ends to our struggle. Sometimes we don't see that there's light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. But the psalmist says, look, you're going to have trials, you're going to have struggles, and weeping is coming in the night. But oh, praise God, that joy is coming in the morning. Joy is just around the corner. There's relief just around the corner. And then the last thing is this. Valleys are purposeful. They have a purpose. Sometimes we don't understand that. We always think, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this struggle? Why am I going through this difficulty? Why am I going through this pain in my life? I don't understand it. Listen, God has a reason for allowing you to go through the valley. God has a reason. Whether it's a valley of doubt, a valley of depression or discouragement or despair or defeat, no matter what you're going through right now, God has a reason for allowing this to happen in our life. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 says, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The verse before that is what we looked at just a moment ago, where he says that if for a little while it's necessary that you must go through a trial, through these various trials. And he said, this is why, so that being tested will result in you praising and glory and lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. Look, valleys are not just a freak of nature. They don't just pop up for no reason. God wants to build your faith in the valleys of life. We're all human. If we had a choice, we would love to stay on the mountaintops. I mean, who wouldn't want to stay on the mountaintop? The scenery on the mountaintop is beautiful. I mean, if you ever climbed a peak and you looked out and you just saw the vastness and the beauty, I mean, it's wonderful. We love the mountaintop experiences. No one would choose to go down in the valley. When you go down in the valley, you can't really see what's ahead of you. You can't see what's going on because all you see is the mountains beside you and the mountains up ahead, and you've got to climb out of that valley. You've got to get out of that valley. So no one really wants to go through the valley. But it's in those valleys where our faith and our trust in God is strengthened. You build faith in the valleys of life. When everything is going great and everything is wonderful in your life, be honest. When everything is wonderful in our lives, how many times do we forget about God? Because we don't really need Him. Not that we don't pray to Him, not that we don't serve Him, but it's like we don't really need Him that much because everything's going great. We're doing wonderful in our life. Job's going great. The kids are all well. Everything is wonderful. But it's when that problem arises, when tragedy strikes, when something happens, we fall on our knees and all of a sudden we really need God. You see, it's in the valleys that we come face to face with God. It's in the valleys that our faith is strengthened. You know, when you don't feel like serving God, when you don't feel like trusting God, when you don't feel like praising God down in the valleys, that's when you have to do it. That's when you have to do it. That's where your faith is tested. It's not tested in the good times of life. It's tested in the valleys. In 1973, a songwriter by the name of Tracy Dart wrote a song, and some of you may know it, "The God of the Mountains is Still God in the Valleys." The words are this: life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. We talk of faith when we're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptation, that's when faith is really put to the test. And then the chorus is, "The God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. The God of the good times, He's still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God of the night." The valley has a purpose, and it's to bring you to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, a deeper dependence upon who He is and what He wants to be in your life. Listen, God wants to build your character. Do you know that? God is more concerned with building your character than making you comfortable. God's not so interested in whether you're comfortable or whether life is convenient. He wants to build your character. He wants to make you like Him. That's the purpose of us living this life, is to be more like Christ, is to grow in our relationship and to grow in the knowledge of who He is so that the world sees Christ in us. And so He wants to build our character. You know how He builds our character? Through the valleys. By making us dependent upon Him. By bringing us face to face with Him. Let me ask you, does God cause bad things to happen? Does God cause accidents and tragedies in our life? He doesn't cause them. The Bible says God can do no evil, but God can use those things. God can use situations in our life. He may not cause them. Just like Job, God didn't cause those things to Job, but He allowed those things to happen to Job. Satan came and said, "Well, what about Job? The only reason he loves you, the only reason he serves you is because nothing bad ever happens to him." And God says, "Okay, have at it. You can do anything, but just don't touch him. Don't hurt him." And so what happens? He lost everything. He lost his kids. He lost his wealth. He lost his livestock. He lost everything. And he was still okay. And then Satan came back and said, "Well, I told you." He said, "Well, see, he still serves me." "Well, that's only because, you know, a man that's got his health was still going to serve you." "Okay, you can do anything, just don't kill him." And he goes back and he inflicts him with boils and he does all this to him. God didn't cause that. God didn't make that happen, but He allowed that to happen to test Job and to test his faith in Him. See, that's the purpose of the valleys, is to test our character and to build our character. God can use those things. I mean, Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good. It doesn't say all things work together are good. It just says everything that happens in our life can work together for good to those that love God and those that are called according to His purposes. God can take any situation and bring good out of it and build things in our life. Even the evil done to us by other people, God can use that for our benefit and for our good. So what do you do when you're in a valley? What do you do when you're going through a valley? I want to give you three biblical action steps to take this morning. Number one, refuse to be discouraged. Refuse to get discouraged while you're down in the valley. You know, the first instinct that we have when we get into a trial, when we get into a struggle, when we have something difficult to come in our life, is for us to fix it and get out on our own. That's our first instinct. We want to solve the problem. We want to take care of the situation. And then we realize that we cannot, and then we get discouraged. And we don't choose our valleys. We don't have a choice of what we're going through, but we do choose how we react while we're going through it. We do choose how we respond to that valley, to that trial, to that struggle. David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going through it. Even though I'm walking through it, he said this, I will fear no evil. He said, I'm not going to fear evil. That word will, I will, implies it's a choice. I'm choosing not to fear any evil that might happen to me in this valley. I'm going to choose to not fear. It's a decision that I am making. It's an act of volition. I will not be afraid as I walk through this valley of the shadow of death. I'm making this choice that I'm not going to be afraid. If you're here this morning and you're going through a valley in your life and you're struggling and you're discouraged and you're defeated this morning, it's because we choose to be discouraged and we choose to feel defeated this morning. Listen, I don't have to know what problem you're going through. I mean, I'm going through problems of my own. We all face problems. It's in those struggles, in those problems, we get to determine how we're going to respond. And many times we respond by becoming defeated and discouraged and feeling like there's no hope. And the reason we feel that way is because we are choosing to look upon our problem, look upon the difficulty in our life, look at the valley we're going through rather than focusing on Jesus. We choose to see the negative of the situation that we're in rather than focusing on the positives of who Jesus Christ is. And so when we're focusing on our situation, we're focusing on our problems, we become defeated and we become discouraged because we're focusing on the wrong thing. And we have to refuse to be discouraged. We have to make that choice that says, even in those deepest, darkest moments of our life, I am going to respond positively. I'm going to focus on God's power rather than on my problem. You can take two people and put them in the exact same identical situation, and one is going to be defeated, and one is going to fall apart. They're going to be blown away by the situation, and the other one is going to be strengthened by it. Why? It's because of what they're focusing on in that situation. One of them is focusing on Jesus, and the other is focusing on their problem. And that's why they get discouraged, because they're focusing on the wrong things. Colossians chapter 1:11 says, may you be strengthened with all the power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Human energy runs out. We get tired. And in the valleys of life, we need an unending supply of power. And the only place that we're going to find that is in Jesus Christ. We don't have the power and the strength within ourselves to overcome these things. We have to focus on Jesus. You have to have His power, and you have to refuse to be discouraged. Secondly, you have to remember, and this is very important, you have to remember that God is with me. God is with you. David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. God, you're with me in the midst of this struggle. God promised his presence, not just in the good times, but he promised his presence in the bad times. Hebrews says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. It doesn't matter what you're going through in your life, I will never leave you. I will always be there to protect you and to guide you and to direct you. Isaiah chapter 4 or chapter 43 verse 2 says this, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. He says, you're not going to drown. You're not going to burn up. You're not going to die. Why? Because I am with you. I will be with you every step of the way in your valley. God says, there is nothing to fear. You don't have to be afraid because I am there with you. Listen, when Jesus is near, there's no need to fear. And he's always there. God's not sitting up in heaven. And he's not looking down on us. And he's not seeing you go through your struggle and go through your trial. And he's not sitting up there going, man, I sure hope they make it. Boy, I sure hope they make it through it. I sure hope they have enough stamina to get through it. I sure hope that everything falls in line and all the dominoes line up so they can just make it through it. God's not up in heaven doing that. He's there with you in the valley. That's what David said. He said, God, even though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, you're right here with me. You're not somewhere off on a distant planet being a cheerleader going, you can do it, you can do it. No, you're right there guiding me. You're right there holding me. I want you to notice something very interesting in chapter 4. Of Psalm 23, there's a strategic change in the use of language in that verse. In the first part of the psalm, all the pronouns are in the third person. David is talking to God. He said, he's talking about God. He said, he leads me beside the still waters. He guides me into green pastures. He restores my soul. David is talking about God. But when he gets into the valley, the language changes to the second person pronouns, and he starts talking not about God, but he starts talking to God. And he's not saying, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he is with me. He doesn't say that. He changes it and he says, because you are with me. The first part he's talking about what God's doing. He can do this. He can do this. He'll lead me beside still waters. He'll let me lay down in green pastures. But when he's in that difficult time in his life, he says, you're here with me. He changes that. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's the valley of life that brings us face to face with God. All of a sudden, the ultimate of who God is becomes the intimate of that relationship that's in our lives. Look, when I'm going through a valley, when I'm going through a difficult time in my life, I don't want to talk about God. I want to talk to God. I want to be able to get on my knees and speak to him and not just talk about all the things that he has done. I want to talk to him about what he's going to do and the strength that he's going to give me to get through this valley. You know, any mature believer will tell you that the times they have been closest to God were in those face-to-face encounters that happen only in the valley. You see, when you're in the valley, you're spent, you're depleted, you're perplexed, you're in despair, but you can talk directly to God and get that strength and get that hope and get that help that you need. You're not in it by yourself. We enjoy the mountaintops, but we come face to face with God in the valleys. And then the last step is this. You need to rely on God's protection and God's guidance. David said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff were the two basic tools that a shepherd would use to protect and to guide the sheep. The rod was basically about a 2-foot-long stick, and it had this knot on the end of it. And these shepherds were so proficient with this rod that if a predator came up, a wolf or something came up, they could take that rod and they could throw it, and it would be like a missile, and it would go and it hit that predator, and it would scare them off. And so they used that to protect the sheep. God saying, when you go through the valley, My rod's there protecting you. My rod's there is defending you. I'm protecting you. When you're going through the dark valley of life, again, God is not setting up in heaven unconcerned and apathetic. He's right there with you, guarding you. He's protecting you. He is fighting that spiritual battle for you. And he's holding off those spiritual forces. He is your defender. He is your protector. That's what the rod represents. But it also goes on to say that your staff, it comforts me. The staff was, you've generally seen it depicted in pictures and portraits, the long stick with a little curved handle up on the end, a crook on the end of it. And that was used to go around the neck of the sheep. He would pull his sheep in close to him. If there was a problem around and he needed to pull his sheep close to be able to protect those sheep, he would use that to guide the sheep. It was his staff that he would use to do those things. Bible saying, you are my rod. You are my staff. You're the one that guides me. You're the one that nudges me in this direction or nudges me in that direction. God is going to use your staff, his staff, to direct you and to guide you. Look, we all go through dark valleys in our lives, and a lot of people think, you know, that's great, and preachers preach this stuff, but you know, man, everything seems so smooth for a pastor. Everything seems so smooth in a preacher's life. You know, the kids are always well-behaved. Everything is just wonderful. It's all roses. Now, we go through struggles, too. In 1995, Catherine and I had a miscarriage. A year later, in 1996, unexpectedly, her mother passed away at the age of 49. In 2004, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. In 2006, God took him home to be with the Lord. In 2012, the early part of 2012, Catherine's dad was diagnosed with a brain tumor. He had surgery by June of that year. God had taken him home to be with the Lord. You see, we go through struggles. We go through trials. But we rely on the protection and the guidance of God. When you go through a valley, the scary parts are the shadows. That's why David said, I'm only going through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes those shadows seem very, very intimidating. Because when you're in darkness, you just see the shadows on the wall of the valley as you're going through them. And David says, look, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I love that because he said, I'm not walking through the valley of death. I'm only walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Doesn't mean it wasn't intimidating. Doesn't mean it wasn't frightening. But there's a difference between a shadow and the real thing. And in our lives, we're going to experience those shadow moments when we're going through the valley. But let me give you some help on that, because here's one of them. Shadows are always bigger than the reality. You ever notice that with a shadow? It always looks large. You ever see the commercial, the shows on TV when you're watching a movie and, you know, something's in a big dark alley and you see this shadow come up on the wall, you know, and it's this huge menacing thing, and then a little dog walks around the corner, a little chihuahua or something. Why? Because the shadow looks huge, but in reality, it's not. It's just a small thing. Fear is always greater than the actual problem. Fear makes the problem seem larger. That's why Paul wrote, don't be anxious about anything. Don't fear. Fear not. Don't worry. Why? Because when we worry, we're making the problem bigger than it really is. What did Jesus say? Worrying doesn't add a single day to your life. It's not going to do anything for you. I mean, how many things that we worry about actually come true? Very few. Why? It's because they're the shadow, not the reality. Another thing about shadows, they can't hurt you. You ever been run over by the shadow of a bus? If you did, it didn't hurt you. I mean, if the shadow went through you, it just went through you. There's a big difference between being run over by the shadow of a bus and being run over by the bus. One will hurt you. The other will do nothing to you. Now, we might be scared because we see the shadow, but it can't harm us. The real thing can harm us. Shadows are image without substance. They can scare you, but they can't hurt you. Why? They're just shadows. But the thing I love most about shadows is this. You cannot have a shadow unless you also have light somewhere. If you're in complete darkness, you can't have shadows. So just the fact that there is a shadow there means there's light somewhere nearby. When you're going through a dark valley, you think the sun has stopped shining. You think that God is dead. You think, I'm all alone. There's no hope. There's no help. You can't see what's in front of you. You can't see what's behind it. You think that you're in total darkness. But anytime there is a shadow, it means there's light somewhere. When you start to get afraid of the shadow and the dark in those valleys of life, what you have to do is turn your back on the shadow and turn it to the light. See, as long as the light is at your back, you're going to see the shadows. But when you turn around and face the light, you're not going to see the shadows anymore because they're behind you now. If you're facing the light, the shadows are in the rear. And that's true in our spiritual life as well. When we're facing those dark shadows of the valley of the shadow of death, when we're facing those, as long as we point to the light, the shadows won't hurt us. The shadows won't bring fear in our life. Look, if you look at this world, you're going to be distressed. You're going to be discouraged. If you look at what's going on in our world today, if you look at what's happening in the lives of people, if you look at what's happening in your own life, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to get depressed. You're going to get downtrodden. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. Because Jesus said, cast your cares on me because I care for your soul. You bring all your cares, all your burdens to me, and I'm going to care for you. It all depends on what you're looking at. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and of His grace. Listen, in the moments that you're in the deepest, darkest valley, what you have to do is turn your eyes on Jesus. That's what David said. Even though I'm walking through this valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear because I know you're here with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You are right here. I'm going to keep my eyes focused on you. You remember Peter when he was in the boat and Jesus was walking on the water and the disciples were all afraid. They didn't know what to do. They thought it was a ghost coming and they said, who is it? And Jesus said, it's I, the Lord. And Peter said, well, if it's you, tell me to come out there. So Jesus said, well, come on out, Peter. I mean, the waves are crashing and the wind is blowing and I'm sure the rain's coming down. And what does Peter do? He gets out and he steps out of the boat and begins walking on the water. And as long as he's got his eyes on Jesus, he's walking on the water. Then you know what happens? This is how I picture it. He's walking and then a wave slaps him in the face. And all of a sudden, reality strikes, and he's like, what in the world am I doing out here? I mean, there's problems all around me. This is crazy. This is ridiculous. I'm a human. I can't do this. And what happens? He begins to sink, and he cries out to the Lord, and Jesus saves him. Listen, when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death in your life, you have to keep your eyes on Jesus, because if you turn your eyes off of Him and you get them onto the problem and onto the struggles and onto the situations that you're going through, you're going to start sinking in life. Psalms 34:19 says this, the righteous person may have many troubles, but I love the last part of that. The Lord delivers them from them all. God will deliver you from your valleys. Remember this, no matter what you're going through, I don't know what you're experiencing in your life this morning. I don't know what pains and struggles you've had in your life. And I'm going to ask the worship team if they want to come and just have a time of response here in just a moment. Maybe you want to go pray with someone, talk with someone. But I don't know what you're going through in your life right now, but I do know this, Jesus knows. He knows everything that you're going through, and He wants you to trust in Him. He wants you to keep your eyes on Him. And so I encourage you this morning, no matter what you're going through, trust in Jesus. God, we thank you that you are an awesome God. We thank you that, Lord, no matter what we face in our life, no matter what we face in the trials and the struggles and the tribulations, God, we know that you are always there with us. We know that no matter what we face, God, we're not facing it alone. And no matter what problems we're going through this morning, whether it's financial problems, whether it's family problems, whether it's health problems this morning, God, those valleys that we find ourselves in, Lord, we pray that you'll speak to our hearts today and give us peace and give us just that rest from those struggles. And help us see that as we walk through these valleys, that you have not left us, that you are holy, that you are righteous, that you are there with us. God, we give our problems and our struggles to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand?
We hope you've enjoyed listening to this message. If you would like more information about Journey Baptist Church, please visit our website at journeybaptist.com.